From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Lebanese Navy is reported to have intercepted a ship carrying containers full of weapons destined for rebels in Syria. The BBC's Jim Muir reports it had set sail from Libya and was headed for northern Lebanon.
The ship, the Lutfala II, is reported to have begun its voyage from Libya, stopped off in Alexandria in Egypt, and then headed for the port of Tripoli in northern Lebanon. But it was intercepted and diverted by the Lebanese Navy. It found and confiscated three containers full of arms and ammunition. It's believed the consignment was destined for the rebels in Syria, with whom the new Libyan regime strongly sympathizes. Tripoli in North Lebanon is a hotbed of support for the Syrian opposition, and the authorities in Damascus have frequently complained about arms being smuggled from that area into the country.
The BBC's Jim Muir. A Chinese human rights group reports that a blind legal activist fleeing house arrest in his village has taken refuge at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. Neither the U.S. nor the Chinese government is commenting. According to the Texas-based China Aid Group, high-level talks are underway concerning the fate of dissident Chin Kuang-chung. The campaign committee for Senator Marco Rubio of Florida has been fined by the Federal Election Commission for accepting illegal contributions. As NPR's David Wellner reports, the FEC fines were imposed last month.
In the month since the FEC slapped more than $9,000 worth of fines on Senator Marco Rubio's campaign committee, the Florida Republican has campaigned alongside GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney, and he's been widely seen as a potential running mate. The 40-year-old son of Cuban immigrants won a Senate seat 2 years ago with Tea Party backing. An FEC probe found his campaign had accepted more than $200,000 in illegal contributions. The campaign maintains it returned more than two-thirds of that money. Some of it came from corporations, a practice banned by law. FEC documents indicate the Rubio campaign was fined an $8,000 civil penalty and a nearly $1,400 administrative fine. David Wellner, NPR News.
For the first time this election year, former President Bill Clinton will join President Obama tomorrow to raise money for the Democrats' 2012 campaigns. The president's re-election campaign is eager to get Mr. Clinton's fundraising support. The two men will appear together at a reception and then a dinner, both hosted by Terry McAuliffe, a close friend of the Clintons. 500 people will attend the reception, with tickets starting at $1,000. About 80 people are expected at a dinner at $20,000 apiece. In a wooded area in North Bend, Washington, law officers hunting for an armed survivalist are maintaining a perimeter around a bunker. This is NPR News. Last night in New York, Delmon Young of the Detroit Tigers was booked on a hate crime charge. The Tigers are playing the Yankees this weekend. The outfielder is apologizing after an incident outside a hotel where he was accused of shouting anti-Semitic remarks. First, the hop-on-hop, off-red double-decker buses disappeared from London streets. Larry Miller reports now another part of the British landscape is faced with a different calling.
At the third stroke, time from BT will be 12.
The time is running out for British Telecom's iconic red phone booth, or phone box as it's called here. At one time there were 70,000 in Britain, but BT says in these mobile times hardly anyone uses them anymore. So after standing on Britain streets for the last 75 years, most are being sold off with a starting price of nearly $4,000. This is the first public sale in 25 years. They're in big demand around the world, despite weighing 3/4 of a ton and standing more than 8 feet high. Some collectors have turned them into showers and garden ornaments. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Some of the most iconic gowns of the late Princess Diana are on display in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend. Tony Doblin is heading up the event.
It tells a story from childhood to her unfortunate death through her clothing, and tells a story about how Diana was a real person.
The dresses are on display at the Southern Women's Show. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.